The Arizona State Board of Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine Examiners on September 14th, 2021 at 9:10, we shall begin. Director Dominski, will you do us the honors of calling the roll? We seem to have a full house today.
Absolutely. Board Member Hancock. Or Hobick, sorry. Board Member Less.
Here.
Board Member Klein.
Present.
Board Member Warner. Absent. And President Fontes.
Present. Okay, that was agenda item two. Agenda item three, our declaration of conflicts of interest. Any of the board members have a conflict of interest today? Please state so at this time. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number four, review, consideration, and possible action regarding board member election pursuant to ARS 322903. So as you know, this board has been kind of dormant for the last 2 years. I've had the honor of serving as president and chair. I was hoping to champion legislation again this year. There was even less going on than the previous year. So my role has largely been a seat filler. We've done almost nil. So should you elect me again, I would be happy to serve. If you feel like that there is somebody else who can take the reins, I would be supportive of that as well. So Director Dominski, if you would review the election procedures.
Absolutely, President Fontes, board members. The conduction, the election of officers goes as follows. We have three officers of the board. We have a president, a vice president, and a secretary treasurer. What will happen is the chair will run the election, the current chair, and will take and receive nominations for each position. So each board member can nominate someone else or themselves for a position. The president will take all those nominations and ask each individual nominated if they wish to accept the nomination. If they do, then the board will vote on each nominee, and whomever receives the majority of the votes will fill that position. If there's a tie, board members can vote on more than one individual. If there's a tie for a position, then we will hold a second vote for those two individuals, and board members may only vote for one of those individuals.
Okay, thank you very much. So do we have any nominations for President Chair?
I nominate Dr. Fontes for President Chair to carry on for another year.
I second the motion.
I accept that.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Less. Do we have any other nominations? Well, I accept. Shall we have a vote?
Yes.
All right, let's have a roll call vote. Director Dominski.
Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
Board Member Less.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
And President Fontes.
Aye. Okay. Dr. Fontes is the president and chair for another year. Let's move on to vice president. Do we have any nominations for vice president? If I may, I'd like to nominate Dr. Klein.
Second the nomination.
I accept the nomination.
All right, any other nominations of other candidates? Shall we have a vote? Director Dominski, if you pick a roll call vote.
Absolutely. Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
Board Member Less.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
And President Fontes.
Aye. Okay, and then we have the Secretary Treasurer. Would anybody like to make a nomination? Before we do that, did somebody else join the call?
We have a phone number ending in 96. Could you identify yourself, please?
Sure, Lisa Platt.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Thank you. And Lisa, I'm just going to mute you just to reduce background noise, but you could dial *6 if you have something during the call to the public.
Okay, let's return to the nomination. I would like to nominate Board Member Hobick for the Secretary Treasurer position.
Well, I'll second that.
I second.
Okay, are there any other nominations? Can we have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
Board Member Less.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
And President Fontes.
Aye. Okay, successful elections. Let's move on to agenda item number 5, review, discussion, and possible action regarding the determination of jurisdiction. This is the hot ticket for today. Director Jerminski, will you please brief the board?
Absolutely. Board members, as you know, many of our licensees are dual licensees under their MD or DO licenses with the state of Arizona. And the case where an individual has a complaint filed against their license with either our board or one of those boards, the board notifies the either we notify the MD or DO board, or the DO or MD board notifies us. And then each board then has to make a determination as to whether they want to assert jurisdiction on the case. If one board asserts and the other one does not, then that board obtains jurisdiction and then conducts the investigation and then makes a decision and then submits that decision and the investigative file to the other board for them to make their own determination. If they do not, if both boards assert jurisdiction, then there is a jurisdiction arbitration panel which is convened. And that is a panel made of board members from both boards and an attorney general representative. And so what's happening today is that Dr. Goodyear had a complaint filed with the Arizona Medical Board. They voted to assert jurisdiction in August of 2020. I think August of 2020. Let me just double check. And we just received notice that they voted to do that on Thursday last week. And so this is on your agenda today for you to review whether this board would decide to assert jurisdiction, whether the allegations and conduct in the complaint are specifically surrounding homeopathic or integrated medicine procedures, which would be under the scope of this board rather than the MD board.
Has this come across the board, this particular case come across the board? I don't recall it.
This particular case?
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen this particular complaint.
Okay, so it went to the medical board a year ago, but it didn't come to us until recently.
Yeah, they didn't tell us until this last Thursday that they had received the complaint.
Okay. So we have some legal representation for Dr. Goodyear. If the legal representation would like to make a statement, this would probably be an appropriate time.
So, good morning, members of the board. I think I unmuted myself. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. My name is David Williams. I represent Dr. Goodyear in this matter. I've also been representing him in front of the Arizona Medical Board, and to no fault of this board or Mr. Garaminski or the board staff, I think the medical board sort of caught everybody flat-footed, and we tried to scramble generously to, and we appreciate Mr. Garaminski providing us the opportunity to provide a written response, to you regarding the jurisdictional issues present. The complaint arises out of a patient that Dr. Goodyear was treating at his clinic called an Oasis of Healing, which is purely a homeopathic integrative practice, and it handled, and that's really the scope of what Dr. Goodyear does. He is, his former specialty in allopathic medicine has been in gynecology and obstetrics, but for the last 3 years since he has moved his practice from Tennessee to Arizona, and prior to moving to Arizona, he's practiced really exclusively in the area of integrative and homeopathic medicine. He has an MDH license from this board. This particular patient came to Dr. Goodyear and his clinic after she had decided to pursue other alternative methods of treatment and did not want to undergo the treatment with a traditional oncologist for breast cancer. Her particular ailment had metastasized into the bone and into the lymph nodes, I believe. And Dr. Goodyear then initiated a low-dose chemotherapy IPT type modality for her, which has historically, with respect to the treatment itself, the patient did have a positive response to that treatment. When she presented to Dr. Goodyear, she was not walking. She was wheelchair mobilized. And by the time she left Dr. Goodyear's treatment and returned to her home, I think in Michigan or in the Northeast, she was walking, she was exercising, she had an overall better overall quality of health. And the oncologist that originally she rejected the treatment from, at some point she went back to this oncologist. This oncologist was the one that spurred the complaint with the Arizona Medical Board. And essentially his complaint was that Dr. Goodyear, as a board certified gynecologist and obstetrician, did not have the qualifications to administer this type of treatment. What the oncologist was not aware of is that Dr. Goodyear's treatment is under the scope of his MDH license. With respect to this type of treatment modality, this board has traditionally handled complaints that arise out of this type of treatment. I can tell you I've presented in front of this board another case within the last 3 years of another physician who was actually at the Oasis of Healing, one of the prior practitioners in that clinic, who was literally the same type of situation. He was being accused of practicing outside of his specialty, even though he was not a licensed although he was not a board certified oncologist. That was also an IPT low dose chemotherapy type issue, and this board accepted jurisdiction over that matter.
We are aware of that.
Okay. So I just to boil it down to its basic principles, there's always been a natural tension within the medical community about alternate treatments and the use of chemotherapy regimens used by integrative physicians and traditional allopathic medicine. And I know this might be a natural turf war between the medical board and this board. In the prior instances, I've not seen the medical board choose to accept jurisdiction. So this is the first one for me in my practice before this board and also the medical board. But I think it would have a very negative effect on these types of treatment modalities if practitioners were at risk of licensure reprisals or discipline against their license for practicing in an area which we purely believe is within the scope of their MDH license. If Dr. Goodyear did not have an MDH license, and he was doing these types of procedures, then yes, I think there would be grounds for possible discipline under his medical license. However, because he's focusing within the scope of this board's license, I think this board should accept and retain jurisdiction over this matter and then evaluate the complaint within the scope of this board's practice standards and regulations.
Mr.
And if we
Williams,
don't, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Did you submit the materials to the board, the response?
We did submit to Mr. Jaraminski my cover letter along with a written response from Dr. Goodyear, which he had already taken the liberty of preparing. And frankly, I thought his words were better than mine because he's speaking the language of your profession. So we submitted that to board staff yesterday morning.
Did you submit the certificate of training for IPT for Dr. Goodyear?
I don't believe we submitted that. Only because my understanding was the issue was going to be really limited to whether this board was going to accept jurisdiction.
I understand. And I understand. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And Mr. I have two questions. This is Dr. Les. Who is the doctor who filed the complaint?
My understanding, it's the oncologist out of either Michigan, somewhere in the Northeast. I apologize. I don't remember the state where he is from, but Pennsylvania. So it's the oncologist that the patient went back to after she stopped her treatment with Dr. Goodyear and returned home.
Thank you.
So we have a complaint against this particular doctor from an out-of-state oncologist, a state that doesn't recognize any integrative medical practices. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
And number two, the patient herself has no complaints against this doctor.
That is correct. At least the patient's never voiced any criticism directly to Dr. Goodyear, and she's always been complimentary of his care. And at least subjectively and objectively, we believe she had a positive response to the treatment.
And one more question. This patient is alive?
I believe she is still alive, yes.
All right. Those are the only questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Is there any other counsel for Dr. Goodyear that would like to present? I know that there was several people on representing Dr. Goodyear.
Dr. Goodyear's prior counsel, I took over the case for Dr. Goodyear's prior counsel because of my background in dealing with integrative physicians.
Is Dr. Goodyear here on the call?
I think he was calling in. He may be on the call.
Yes, I was muted. I apologize. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dr. Goodyear, this is President Fontes. Do you have a statement that you would like to address to the board? I know that you prepared a statement. If you don't have one prepared today, maybe it would be an opportunity for you to read your written statement. It was very good.
Okay. Just a real quick, and I will read that. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be a part of a state that recognizes the wonderful therapies that integrative and homeopathic therapies provide to people of all types of ailments. But in this particular case, Sherry S.H., wonderful patient, they were actually fired by this oncologist because she refused the recommended therapies. It was at that point that the patient sought alternative care around the country and ended up at our clinic here. She was truly immobile and wheelchair bound when she presented to us. When she left, she was able to walk and was actually walking for exercise. Now, this patient is no longer living, unfortunately. About 6 months ago, she was out riding a bike and ended up falling and fracturing her pelvis. And this ended up succumbing, leading to basically a deterioration in her physical health at that point. When she went home, when we discharged her home, she refused to go to this oncologist. Her husband was very adamant about wanting to go to the oncologist and to present her to him as the case. And I told him, please do not do this. We need this oncologist to guide her as she continues to move forward. And so since they refused to go back to this oncologist and it was the only option in their area, they're in rural Pennsylvania, in near the Amish country, they did elect to go to a physician who I had a peer-to-peer with, an internal medicine doctor. And it was only through the need for additional imaging that the insurance required referral back to the oncologist unbeknownst to me. And that is then how the oncologist, I believe, ended up getting back involved in the case and then filed the complaint with me. So I just wanted to clarify just that history real quick.
Dr. Les. I have two questions.
Dr. Les, let's let him finish his statement before we start with the questions. Did you have any more?
Well, I do. Well, I mean, in terms of when the patient presented to us, what I can do is I can read my statement because I think it pretty much.
Why don't you do that? Because I don't think that all the board members have reviewed the entire case.
Sure. I'll present this. So I'll just read it word by word and it'll be present to you. It's present right there with you.
Thank you.
I'm honored and proud to have the privilege of being licensed by the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine as a homeopathic medical doctor, maintaining a license in good standing for the past over 2 years. As are all my fellow colleagues licensed by this board, I am dedicated to the prevention and resolving of dis-ease and healing through the restoration of wellness with lifestyle changes and a holistic integrative evidence-based approach to medicine. For the last 15 years, I've dedicated my professional life to helping restore medicine to its original purpose, which is teaching people how to heal. Dossier Rafe. Dossier Rafe is what a physician is. It's what a doctor is. To these questions, I say again, Dossier Rafe. Dossier is Latin for doctor, which can be translated as teacher. Rafe is Hebrew for physician, which can be translated as healer. We are teachers. We are healers. We are teachers that heal. I reference dis-ease and not disease because dis-ease simply means the absence of wellness or the lack of a lack of ease. Disease results from two root words, dis, meaning without, and ease, meaning ease, literally meaning without ease. Cancer is not a sentence. It is a word. A diagnosis such as cancer is merely a word. In like most doctors that treat disease, seeks words of disease, words like survival rate, percentage rates, chance of remission, they're just words. In contrast, a physician like myself represents the qualities and foundational practices represented in this Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine. We seek not words, but the process of healing and wellness in spirit, emotion, psychology, and in the physical. To address the question of jurisdiction that has arisen from the complaint by this oncologist, the historical precedent set in Arizona for over 20 years is that low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation is under the jurisdiction of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine. Dr. Frank George, licensed by the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine in 1994, was the first physician to perform IPT in Arizona under the Arizona Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine license. Dr. Thomas Lodi, the founder of An Oasis of Healing, who also worked with Dr. George, began using IPT with cancer patients at An Oasis of Healing upon opening in 2006 under the same jurisdiction of his MDH license in the state of Arizona. The utilization of IPT has come under the jurisdiction of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine since the early 2000s. Forgive me, I just accidentally closed it.
This is President Fontes. Take your time. You're doing great.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so find where I was. Okay, additionally, physician licensed by the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine currently utilizing IPT but are not included but are not limited to Sean Devlin, DODOH. Murray Susser, MDH, Robert Ziv, MD, MDH, and Heil Haldren, MD, MDH. In addition, the past Arizona Board of Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine President, Dr. Charles Schwingel, was trained, certified, and performed IPT while acting president from 2005 to 2007. Further addition, precedence was established according to the Arizona Homeopathic Examiners Board regular session meetings dated from July 25th, 2017, in regards to review, consideration, and possible action regarding case number 16-05, Dr. Shackett. Quote, Mr. Borg investigated and gathered information regarding these three questions. Mr. Borg presented an IPT certificate granted to Dr. Shackett in October 2006 by Dr. Frank George. Dr. Schwingel stated that most certificates expire around 7 years and need to be renewed to keep abreast of current practices. He felt that since IPT is narrow in its scope, no new changes in IPT have been implemented, which would require recertification. Dr. Warner asked if we have anything that speaks to whether this certification meets our requirements. Is 40 hours adequate? Mr. Borg replied that he couldn't find anything in the board's files that addressed this issue. Quote, Dr. Schwingel stated that when he was certified in IPT, the board accepted the 40 hours as adequate. Dr. Warner posted that a precedent had been established. Further quote, Dr. Schwingel asked what the big picture was with this case and who filed the original complaint. Ms. Khan replied that the original complaint was filed at the Arizona Medical Board, who forwarded the complaint to the Osteopathic Board due to jurisdiction. The Osteopathic Board then forwarded the complaint to this board, the Homeopathic Board, as Dr. Shackle is a dual license, end quote. Further quote, Mr. Fontes stated that he felt the big picture issue is that the initial physician complaining didn't like IPT. It is clear that our licensee can do IPT. We need to stand up for our physician's ability to do IPT, end quote. Final quote of the same minute meetings. Homeopathic physicians can perform low-dose IPT, end quote. The utilization of IPT has always come underneath the jurisdiction of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine since the early 2000s. Physicians practicing this therapy known as IPT, IPT-LD, or low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation are generally not oncologists. These physicians have training in multiple disciplines, including internal medicine, family medicine, general practice, cardiology, sexual medicine, and emergency medicine. I am board certified in obstetrics and gynecology with additional training in medical oncology through internal medicine, insulin potentiated chemotherapy trained by Dr. Sean Devlin, an active member of this board, functional regenerative medicine, metabolic medicine, and genetics and epigenetics. In the state of Arizona, I'm licensed by the Arizona Medical Board dually. However, as I outlined here, the methods and practice that I utilize for IPT and other therapies come under the scope of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine, not the Arizona Medical Board. Due to the aforementioned precedents, I and other physicians here in Arizona only perform IPT under the Arizona Homeopathic and Integrative Medical Licensure because IPT is not recognized by the Arizona Medical Board. This is one of the many reasons why I and others are licensed here by the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine. In my practice, I use an integrative and holistic approach to assisting patients with cancer return to health. Over the past years, I found that IPT or low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation, unlike maximum tolerated chemotherapy as defined by the literature, has many benefits and positive results in cancer treatment. The low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation works well in conjunction with the goal of healing from dysesthesia and not just treating a diagnosis. Significant research exists to support low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation to include reduction in toxic side effects, inhibition of angiogenesis, cancer cell cytotoxic, reduction in metastasis, treatment for metastasis, reduction in recurrence, systemic and tumor microenvironment immunomodulation, augmentation of conventional immunotherapeutics, improvement in overall survival, reduction in chemo resistance, and improvement in quality of life. In addition, the specific anti-cancer effects of low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation found in the literature include inhibition of vascular endothelial growth factor, inhibition of hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha, decrease in T regulator cell number and T regulator cell activity, increase in T regulator T effector ratio, increase in CD8 cytotoxic T cells in the tumor microenvironment, increase in the number and activity of natural killer cells in the tumor microenvironment, inhibition of TGF-beta or transformer growth factor beta, inhibition of M2 macrophage polarization in the tumor microenvironment, a decrease in the M2 macrophage and M1 macrophage ratio, inhibition of mobilization of endothelial progenitor cells, increase in thrombospondin 1, decrease in interleukin 6 secretion, also known as cytokine storm, that is found in full-dose chemotherapy, reduction in myeloid-derived suppressor number cell accumulation and activity in the tumor microenvironment, increase in dendritic cell differentiation, activation, maturation, and increase in antigen presentation and inhibition of iNOS. There is significant evidence proving the efficacy of low-dose chemotherapy with insulin potentiation in the treatment of cancer that is not recognized by the Arizona Medical Board. Second, precedence in history holds that IPT falls under the jurisdiction of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medicine Examiners. I therefore request that this complaint be moved under the appropriate medical board that applies to my practice of medicine for IPT, which is the jurisdiction of the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medical Examiners. Now, to address other claims made by this oncologist, here's a brief review of the case of the patient, SE. I had no prior history with the oncologist that filed this complaint nor the patient in question prior to her arrival here, nor have I ever received any phone call, email, text, voicemail, or any communications to this date from this oncologist or staff. The patient was diagnosed initially with breast cancer in 2017 following a mastectomy. She underwent natural therapies locally in Pennsylvania. Recurrence and metastasis to liver and bone were discovered in 2019. She presented to the oncologist who initially diagnosed her breast cancer to evaluate her liver and bone metastasis. She was fired by the same oncologist, being told by the oncologist, quote, she had killed herself, end quote, because of her refusal to take full-dose chemotherapy and radiation regimens recommended. Following her search for a holistic treatment center, the patient consulted with me in an Oasis of Healing to treat her stage 4 breast cancer. The patient did receive 5 radiation treatments for her low back prior to arrival at an Oasis of Healing, but this exacerbated her pain. As mentioned previously, the patient presented in a wheelchair, unable to walk due to severe pain secondary to the bone metastasis. Initial PET CT revealed numerous lytic bone lesions and liver lesions. As is our standard here, the patient was fully informed and provided written consent regarding each therapy and the plan as a whole, after which she underwent the full program with successful outcome. Insulin-potentiated low-dose metronomic chemo was only one of the therapies included in her comprehensive, holistic, and integrative treatment program. A follow-up post-treatment PET CT revealed a significant response with a reduction in the number and size of the lesions, as well as a significant decrease in the standard uptake value maximum in both the lytic bone and liver lesions. Upon discharge, the patient was able to walk without pain. In fact, the patient was walking for exercise upon discharge. Although she was instructed to follow up with her oncologist upon her return home, the patient refused. She was therefore, and is customary, referred to a local primary care physician to continue her local care in Pennsylvania. As is my customary practice, I had a peer-to-peer meeting with this physician upon her discharge. The patient did return to an Oasis of Healing for additional treatment and was again discharged in excellent condition. The patient was working in the house, exercising, and even riding her bike with her son at home after the second discharge. Unbeknownst to me, the patient was referred by her general physician to her general oncologist, the original, in order to write a referral for a imaging that would be then covered by insurance. This is the same oncologist who filed this complaint and who fired the patient previously. And again, I was only aware of this referral for imaging after the complaint against me was filed. One of the claims included in this complaint also was the failure to discuss the patient's treatment with other treating provider, end quote. As I discussed previously, it is standard procedure that I here engage in peer-to-peer meetings with physicians to review treatments that they received here and further recommendations upon discharge as I hand them off to their local provider. Also stated, I was unaware of this oncologist's further involvement to the filing of the complaint last year. Moreover, and as stated previously, the patient and her husband were adamant that the relationship with the oncologist was terminated. Neither the staff at an Oasis of Healing nor I are aware of any communication attempts by this oncologist in which one of his complaints was filed. I am grateful, extremely grateful, to have the privilege to practice medicine in Arizona and in one that aligns with the true meaning of what a doctor is, a teacher and a healer. This is solely due to the licensing provided by the Arizona Board of Homeopathy and Integrative Medical Examiners. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dr. Goodyear. Board members, do you have any other? Dr. Les?
Yeah, this is Dr. Les. I have two questions. One, I think, is already answered. There's nothing negative from the patient who's now deceased against Dr. Goodyear. I think that's the assumption, because apparently she was discharged or back to Pennsylvania twice, doing much, much better. And the cause of death is actually not her cancer. It was, well, it might be as a concomitant diagnosis, but she died from trauma-related sequelae of circumstances. My real question is, what is the husband's position on this? And is he part of the complaint against Dr. Goodyear, or is there an associated malpractice suit also ongoing? I suspect the answer is negative on both.
Well, what I was instructed initially by my initial counsel, not David Williams, was that, and as a part of the initial complaint investigation by the Arizona Medical Board, that I was unable to make the patient and the patient's husband aware of the complaint. What's interesting about this is that the patient and the husband were here when the complaint was filed against me and when I was notified, yet I was unable to make them aware. If it's my belief that if this patient knew, the patient's husband, excuse me, knew that this physician had used them to file a complaint against me, I think this husband would be furious. He is not involved in any complaint against me. He does not know there is a complaint against me involving his wife. These were wonderful people. And as I mentioned, he wanted to go back and show his wife to her, and I encouraged him not to, just because they had had such a bad breakup with this oncologist. So this patient's husband is not aware of any complaint against me.
And to answer the other question, there's no pending legal action or malpractice claim that's been filed against Dr. Goodyear either, and we're not aware of any.
That's correct.
All right. I certainly have an opinion here, but I'll defer to Dr. Fontes to perhaps go into executive session to discuss things or give me the boundaries of what I can say on the open line.
Correct. Thank you, Dr. Less. Any other questions or concerns from board members?
Do we have any written justification from the Arizona Medical Board on why it is they asserted jurisdiction?
Director Jerminski, we can't hear you.
It's the curse of Zoom. Google Meets, yeah. President Fontes, board members, we have an excerpt from the minutes from the Arizona Medical Board from August of 2020 stating why they asserted jurisdiction on the first page of the complaint that we received. Absolutely. I can just read from that if that's helpful for you.
Yes.
It says that Dr. Gillard observed this case involves chemotherapy, which he stated would not be homeopathic in nature. You know, the complaint stemmed from an oncologist in Pennsylvania who disagreed with Dr. Goodyear's chemotherapeutic regimen for this patient. Dr. Gillard stated he found this case to involve allopathic medicine and spoke in favor of asserting jurisdiction in this matter. Move for the board to assert jurisdiction and so on and so forth. Dr. Figgs observed Dr. Goodyear used conventional chemotherapy for this patient off-label, clearly off-label and clearly as an alternative homeopathic approach for treatment. Dr. Figg noted the patient signed acceptance of this alternative treatment. Dr. Crane spoke in support of the motion to assert jurisdiction and stated that despite the patient having a signed consent form, the arbitration session is warranted for having it reviewed and a ruling made to determine which regulatory body is primary. Dr. Bayer spoke in favor of the motion and stated his concerns regarding the use of CMF, combination of the drugs cyclophosphamide, methotrexate, and fluorouracil, which I probably butchered, regimen in such a manner as the physician did in this case, as it is highly unconventional. Dr. Bayer stated he was not comfortable with the care provided by Dr. Goodyear in this case. Dr. Bethencourt noted that Dr. Goodyear's field of practice is gynecology and not oncology, and questioned whether the physician was qualified to provide the therapy. Assistant Attorney General requested a volunteer from the board to participate in the arbitration panel in the event that our board asserts jurisdiction. Dr. Bayer volunteered to participate in the panel on the board's behalf. Dr. Crane offered to participate in the event Dr. Bayer is not available. They voted 10 yay, 0 nay to assert jurisdiction.
All right, thank you. It sounds like the medical board is unaware of the scope of practice for the MDH board. That's simple misunderstanding. Okay, any other questions, concerns? I don't believe we need to go into executive session because that's not the appropriate. I think we just need to. Board Member Hobick, did you have a concern?
Nope. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Mr. President, members of the board, I apologize. This is Justin Larson with the Attorney General's office. I just wanted to this was already covered earlier, but I just wanted to clarify the point. I know the board has seen this issue before. But the jurisdictional issue is purely which board conducts the investigation. Neither board would be, or in other words, both boards would still be able to impose discipline in this case. regardless of which board ends up retaining jurisdiction to conduct the investigation. It's just that, you know, whichever board ends up getting jurisdiction over the investigation, the other board will be bound by their investigative file in making whatever disciplinary determination. So even if this board were to assert jurisdiction and go to arbitration and be able and win and be able to conduct the investigation, both boards would still be able to impose discipline on the basis of that investigation.
Understood. This is President Fontes, but this is not about investigation at this point. This is about asserting a right of jurisdiction by the homeopathic board, correct?
In principle, well, what I'm saying is that the jurisdictional issue is not limited. It's not regarding whether this board can impose discipline. If the medical board were to retain jurisdiction, it would just be that the medical board conducts an investigation and then imposes whatever discipline it sees fit. And then they would send that file to this board, and this board could impose discipline or not impose discipline but it would be based on the medical board's investigation. So really the jurisdictional question is really just limited to which board conducts the investigation. Does that make sense?
What is the action that the board is taking today? What are our options?
The board, so the medical board has already voted to assert jurisdiction and conduct the investigation. And if not, if this board were to assert jurisdiction today, then we would essentially be, and the medical board also voted in the alternative to send the case to arbitration if our board votes to assert jurisdiction. So all you're deciding today is whether you would like to challenge the medical board essentially, and if you were to assert jurisdiction, then we would go to arbitration with the medical board to decide which board conducts the investigation.
So our motion would be to assert jurisdiction or not?
That is correct.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Well, I have a motion to demand that we accept jurisdiction because this is integrative therapy.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All right, we have a motion on the table. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
You oppose?
Aye. No. Aye. Who's opposing? Is someone opposing?
Director Jerminski, can you sort this out for us?
Absolutely. You know what I'll do is a roll call vote for since we're on teleconference.
Thank you.
Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
Board Member Less.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
And President Fontes.
Aye.
Okay, all aye.
And Mr. President, members of the board, this is Justin again. If while we're here, we might as well also find which member would like to volunteer to serve on the arbitration panel.
Dr. Less would be the most appropriate person to do this. Dr. Less, would you like to?
Yeah, I will go ahead and do this. I'm a board certified internal medicine doc.
Okay.
And I recognize, having written the book, The Healing Response, I recognize the issue of healing here as the ultimate goal of a doc. So
okay.
I think my credentials would back up that I should be part of the arbitration.
Okay, so sounds like we've got a complete motion to include Dr. Less, and we've had a roll call vote, so the motion carries.
Perfect.
All right, so, well, I want to thank the council and Dr. Goodyear for attending the board meeting and presenting. And we will, you will be apprised of the situation by Director Jerminski. You can contact him as we move forward.
Thank you very much.
Questions or concerns, Dr. Goodyear?
No, thank you very much for your time.
Okay. All right.
President Fontes, board members, so just informationally, the next steps for this is that I will notify the Arizona Medical Board that our board has moved to assert jurisdiction. One of their board members, Dr. Less, and our attorney, Assistant Attorney General, Justin Larson, and their Assistant Attorney General will serve on a board, on a panel that also has an attorney licensed to practice in the state appointed by the Supreme Court, who will serve as the chairperson of that panel, and then they will then meet and decide on the jurisdiction for those boards, and then we will get notified by that panel as to the outcome.
Can you put this on a running agenda item to give you have the board apprised? Mm-hmm.
So this will happen in the next 30 days.
Oh, moving fast. Okay, still agendized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's close out agenda item 5, unless anybody has any other issues with Dr. Goodyear's case. Closed. Moving to agenda item 6, review, discussion, and possible action regarding applications for licensure for Matthew Brock. Director Jerminski, can you review the file for us?
Absolutely. And I believe that Dr. Brock is present to speak on his application.
Is that correct? Dr. Brock, are you present?
Can you everybody hear me?
Yes, we can. Please state
excellent. Your name. I'm here.
Please state your name for the
board. Sure, it's Dr. Matthew Brock.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Absolutely, board members. So this is the application for Dr. Matthew Brock. His checklist and application file is in your material. It appears that he submitted all the documentation required for initial licensure. He's also taken and passed the Arizona homeopathic examination, homeopathic medical doctor examination. He's submitted all the required documentation. I believe he has more than 300 hours of postgraduate course studies, including at least 40 in homeopathy. So the question for the board is whether the certificates that he submitted for those postgraduate studies qualify for the specific modalities and statute or not, and then to make a decision as to licensure for this individual or not. Also, he has requested to be approved for chelation therapy. The only thing that it looks like he does have training in chelation therapy. The only thing I'm missing, I think, is the informed consent document, which the board could approve at a later date or authorize me to approve because they're fairly standard. So if you have any questions for Dr. Brock, he's present for you to interview as part of the oral examination for the board. The oral examination, while it's called an oral examination, is not traditionally a exam where you ask questions about specific, practice questions. It's not a quest or a quiz or a test, but it's simply to, communicate with the doctor about his background and history and what his intended practice is.
Okay, Dr. Brock, would you like to address the board about your background, history, and intent to practice?
Yes, I'm board certified in internal medicine as of 2014. I started out my career in a private, primary care practice.
In Arizona?
And during that time, in the state of Oregon. Yeah. And during that time, I began to become aware of integrative therapies. One of the first books I read was Stephen Sinatra's Great Cholesterol Myth. And I, that was just the toe in the water for me. And I began to implement his four therapies and magnesium and carnitine and ribose. And I'm thinking of I'm missing one other one off the top of my head, but I saw amazing results just with those interventions. And of course, you know, when you see those kind of things, you begin to get excited, and I began to pursue more integrated therapy and ended up running into Dr. Lee Cowden in 2015 and joined his organization that he started for the American Academy of Integrated Medicine, ACIM, and ended up becoming very good friends with Dr. Cowden. And he's been a great mentor to me. And I've spent, you know, I've on the phone with him almost every day or every week, you know, since 2015 with him, and have been shoulder to shoulder with him and practicing with his practice in Arizona. And so I completed the American Academy of Integrated Medicine fellowship, which was over 300 hours of material and orthomolecular medicine, chelation, traditional Chinese medicine, you know, massage, herbal therapy, and a few of other things. And I've been practicing in the state of Washington since 2016 as a solo private practice practitioner. And currently, my family and I, in 2019, we're going to become a mission family internationally. And right before we were getting ready to do that, the pandemic hit. And so I had already set down my practice in September of 2019 to go do that. And so I've essentially just been doing little bits of telemedicine. I've been subleasing a room from a physician office just to see patients on an as-needed consultation. And during this year, I've finished up a lot of things I've been wanting to do in terms of, you know, getting certified in chelation therapy with ACAM, American College of Advancement Medicine. You know, I'm getting certified in ozone therapy with Dr. Frank Schallenberger down in Nevada with the American Academy of Ozone Therapy. And I finished the 40 hours of acute care homeopathy through Pima, which I enjoyed very much. And I'm pretty much it. I'm happy to field any other questions.
Intent to practice?
Yeah, intent to practice. Dr. Lee Cowden has had the homeopathic integrated licensure for some time now. But really my intent to practice was I became friends with John Ertl and Dino Prado at Invita Medical Center. And there's a potential for me to potentially work there some point or another. We haven't planned anything yet. And so that is one of the intentions. Another intention for licensure really is to be in relationship with physicians who are like-minded and to join the community. That was another intention, the practice intention for licensure.
Are you intending to practice in the state of Arizona?
Yeah, potentially at some point.
But you're not here now?
Not right now.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board members?
My question would be, this is Dr. Les, and I guess it's more a question for Dr. Fontes. How often are we certifying out-of-state physicians that have no essential practice in the state of Arizona? Is that right, common for us or not?
Well, we have. Director Jaminski might be more up to speed on this in the past, but we have.
All right.
Jaminski, I invite you to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm President Fontes, board members. There are definitely a percentage of our licensees who are out of state. And so probably, you know, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I would say maybe a quarter.
A follow-up
question. How many of those licensees have we licensed that were in Arizona first initially and then left the state versus how many we licensed from other states that have never had a practice relation to Arizona?
I don't know.
I don't have those numbers in front of me, unfortunately. I do know that, you know, just from reviewing past files, that there are several individuals who are like that, currently licensed by the board.
We have a unique licensure here and scope of practice, and I think it's attractive to practitioners throughout the United States.
Oh, I'm 100% aware of that. It's just regulatory issues across state lines can be a little bit of a problem, as we've noted in the past, but I'm not against this, so.
Yeah. Okay, so any other questions, concerns? Do we have a motion to accept materials as submitted and to issue licensure?
So moved, but also adding a motion for Director Garaminski to have authority to review the, what form was it that we're missing?
The informed consent for chelation therapy. Yes.
Informed consent for chelation therapy form.
Are those in all in one motion, or is that a separate motion for the
chelation? All in one big
all motion. In one go. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a second from Dr. Klein and the motion from Board Member Hovick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Welcome to the Arizona Homeopathic Board, Dr. Goodyear, or no, sorry, Dr. Brock.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. I'm honored to be part of this, and I really appreciate what you do down there and would love to learn more and how you do those things.
Okay, well, this is President Fontes. We welcome you to, hopefully when you get to Arizona, we'll have a in-person board and you can come down and meet us all in person. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any more issues with item number six? Closing six. Moving to agenda item number seven, review, discussion, and possible actions regarding executive director's report. I would like to turn this over to Director Garaminski. Take it away.
Absolutely. President Fontes, board members, just informationally, we have in our revolving fund about $60,000. And just as, again, as a point of reference, in 2018, when I came into the board, we had $14,000. So that's a obviously a much healthier fund balance. And hopefully we can hold on to that. And that'll help us move into the future to make investments in things like technology and so on. So summary of current events, board office highlights, we're running into the legislative session season that starts January this next year, but it's already starting as far as communicating with legislators and so on. I'll be down at the Capitol, well, maybe not down at the Capitol, but I'll be communicating with people who are supposed to be down at the Capitol about some of the issues that the board's brought up for your desired legislation. That you've made clear from previous board meetings, and answering any questions they may have. You know, there are always things that come up. For instance, last year, 2 years in a row, there's been a bill that was run to reduce the board's fund balances to half of their appropriation. Our appropriation is about $40,000, $45,000. So that would reduce our appropriation down, our fund balance down to $20,000. And that's, really limits our ability to be flexible and to do anything with into the future as far as investments for technology or staffing or whatever. So that's something we always need to be aware of and keep track of, is what's going on down there at the legislature. Lastly, I don't know, obviously the board's been in communication with Justin during the meeting, but he has now taken over from Sabrina, who took over, Seamus took over from Sabrina, Justin's taking over from Seamus. So he's now our Assistant Attorney General in the future.
All right, so it's official, Justin.
Yes.
Maybe you could next time you could come on the teleconference and we could put a face with the voice.
Yes, absolutely, Mr. President, members of the board. I apologize. I didn't realize till this morning that I thought it was only telephonic. But I really appreciate the opportunity to work with the board. I know I have big shoes to fill with both Sabrina and Seamus, but I really look forward to working with you and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Anything else on item number 7?
Unless you have specific questions for me, I don't have anything else otherwise.
Board members, questions for Director Jerminski? No, this board.
Well, I have a question for David Jerminski, just to make sure you call me after this is all over. You give me a call to tell me what I have to do.
Okay. Absolutely. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Les. Let's move to item number 8, call to the public. Do we have any public would like to address the board? Reminding the public that you may address the board, but the board members cannot directly answer you, but we can hear your presentation. Apparently we have no public that would care to address the board. Discussion items to be placed on future meeting agendas. I believe there was an informed consent, and we want to keep abreast of the Goodyear complaint. So if those could be agendized. Any other things that any board member would like to have on the agenda? Hearing none, let's move to item number 10, adjournment. I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
I second the motion.
Oh, are those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Would anybody like to stay here for the afternoon? Hearing none, let's call it. Thank you, board members. You do a great service to our licensees and our public.
Thank you for your service as well.
All right, we are adjourned at 10:12.